Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Cultures around alcohol run a range as broad as the kinds of adult beverages out there. For some, drinking culture means afternoons at a vineyard. For others, it's a night on the town full of bacchanalian fun. And in some cases, drinking habits can lead to an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, as illustrated in Kendrick Lamar's 2012 hit, Swimming Pools.
I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels. Some people want to kill their sorrow. Some people want to fit in with the popular. That was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'ma get f***ed up, filling up my cup. I see the crowd mood changing by the minute, and the record on repeat. Took a sip, then another sip, then somebody said to me, why you babysitting on?
Thankfully, there are bar proprietors who focus on the art of alcohol and promote responsible drinking by sharing different histories and cultures linked to wines and spirits. Joining me to talk about their approach to that is the married couple behind Passport Bar and Poor Decisions, Javia Gilliam Sanford and Cage Sanford. In addition to that work, they're hosting a ticketed event on June 14th called The Art of Alcohol at Keener Plaza. So, Cage and Javia, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. So, Javia and Cage, you co-own Passport Bar and Pour, that's P-O-U-R, Decisions. But your journey to owning these two small businesses, as I understand, was not part of your plan. Javia, what is it that led you and Cage, your husband, to the idea of opening Passport Bar?
Yeah, so I think we go back just a little bit further. I was trying to put myself through grad school and picked up a job at a big box liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
I had always had some type of introduction to spirits, wine, beer, through communal, like, family ways. But I was like, this feels like a good place to be to make some money. And so that was, I think, my true segue into getting into spirits. I saw how many doors it opened for a lot of my colleagues who were higher up. They were allowed to travel. They got to see lots of the world and interact with lots of people that I kind of felt like, hey, I would love to be in those rooms. And
So you're becoming a sommelier.
I am one.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did that happen? I mean, did you do that by going somewhere else? Did you do that right from here, St. Louis?
I did it right from here, from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So Court of Master Somm started a satellite program that you could do from home after the pandemic. And it worked out perfectly for me because I think I was 4 months postpartum or three I decided to do this, which I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are lots of reasons to look for some escape.
Yeah.
So, Cage, for you, the role that you play at Passport Bar is mixologist.
Correct.
What is it that interested you in, you know, maybe not so much in wine, but in liquor and spirits?
I think just seeing how our community was involved with them. I think a big thing for me is, again, I'm a therapist by trade, is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the way people build on those relationships, again, the familiarness, the communalness, how we all come together sometimes just to have a drink or a happy hour. Just looking at those things, and I really got into what a good cocktail was, in my opinion, and how we can make those things more affordable to expand everybody else's horizons.
Yeah.
Sometimes we pay a lot for a drink that you don't like, and sometimes there's cheap drinks that you just don't know about.
Yeah. What was a cocktail that made you feel like, I want to come up with my own kinds of mixed drinks?
I would say very traditionalist. I think it was a lemon drop. Just very honestly, we had been a lot of places and they kept being made different ways for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a very kind of traditional cocktail that can easily be riffed and made a spin on, but the traditional way wasn't being done. And I think me getting back to the roots of this traditional, I'm gonna call it simplified cocktail, and then what we can add to it.
And I think to his point, one thing that really radicalized us collectively, I think, was our time in Cuba. Super, like, traditional cocktails, like he's saying, but they did them so well. They put their own flair on them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, this is just so good. Like, what are y'all doing? And it wasn't really much. It's just that they never because of the embargoes, they didn't have a ton of stuff to play with.
Oh,
so they worked with what they had, and they did it very well.
Mm-hmm. Before we move away from the lemon drop, what does a traditional lemon drop, you know, what's in it?
So traditional lemon drop, right, would be, again, most cocktails are 2-1-1. So you're going to have your spirit, your citrus, and your sweetener. And traditionally, again, we use gin, because, again, gin traditionally, before vodka and everything else, mm-hmm. 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of lemon juice, and then 1 ounce of simple syrup.
Fresh mm-hmm. lemon juice.
Fresh lemon juice, yeah. And that if you do that and you stick to it, it's perfect. You shake it up, you get it strained, you hear that ice change.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
The ice change?
When you're shaking it, you should be able to tell the difference in the ice from when you first put it in to when mm-hmm. it kind of starts to thin out, that water yeah, starts
that
to come
out. That dilution starts mm-hmm. to happen. You'll hear the sound of the ice change when you're shaking. You always shake next to your ear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish we could do that on air, but clearly we cannot. We'll have to catch up with you all for that. So you two have two different brands under your names, and we've mentioned your Passport Bar, and it is relocating from downtown St. Louis to the Del Mar Loop
yes.
this summer. And then there's also Poor Decisions, and that is a pop-up bar. Mm-hmm. I think for many of the events that we've had here at St. Louis Public Radio, we've seen you set up here. Other than one's being a brick and mortar and the other being a mobile pop-up bar, Cage, what is the biggest difference between the two?
Unfortunately, I think the biggest difference is the mobile aspect, and not to be that simple. But again, with a brick and mortar, and this isn't to shame anybody, but again, with a brick and mortar, you have all of your product there, your tables are there, everything's there. When it comes to that pop-up, there's a lot more time we have to put into preparing to bring liquor, preparing mm-hmm. to bring mixers. You don't want to forget anything for your non-alcoholic drinking folks, your table. There's a lot more thought process and preparation that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Again, we can serve kind of the same cocktails, but the style that we have to serve them into and the quickness we may have to serve them in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the mobile part is kind of the biggest difference.
Mm. And was it the brick and mortar that came first? So it was
yeah.
the mobile.
So Poor Decisions, we've almost been in business 5 years. And that's a horse trailer we converted into a full cocktail bar.
Mm-hmm.
We started that right after pandemic hit. So like we launched 2021, we started build out in 2020. So that was what I think we thought we would do forever for a few reasons. It allows us to have like a lower overhead,
mm-hmm.
which allowed us to keep prices really reasonable for our consumers while still maintaining quality. So we always say a craft cocktail experience at a dive bar price.
Right, right.
So the mobile bar allows us to do that.
Okay. Well, there's nothing to argue with there. Speaking of conversions, you know, with the mobile bar and... we started our conversation with a little snippet of Kendrick Lamar's song, Swimming Pools, Drank, and he's discussing his experiences as the singer, perhaps, watching loved ones struggle with a healthy relationship with alcohol. And here on St. Louis on the Air, we've actually had several conversations with people who've shared very personal stories about coming into a healthy relationship with drinking. Have stories like that, you know, histories of people struggling with the way that they consume alcohol, has that been part of what has informed the way that you've gone about running Passport, Javia?
Yes. So we always said in the beginning, even when we started Poor Decisions, that one of our main things was if people enjoy what they drink, they'd have a better relationship with it. And that starts with a few things: education, affordability, and creating accessibility for people to have those experiences. And so that's why Poor Decisions is always affordable. And it comes with a level of education. If you aren't familiar with something, you can ask us, Kate, I don't mind giving you a sample of something.
Mm-hmm.
I call it like a drinking ceiling. People
okay.
feel like they can only drink this one item and they're not necessarily drinking it because they like it. They're familiar with it. And sometimes the motto is, I just want to drink to get drunk.
Yes.
So they're getting like the highest proof, nastiest thing off the shelf.
Right, right.
And it's, again, something I saw day in and day out every week working at a liquor store.
Mm.
Same consumers coming in, drinking the same thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, oh, try this. You know, it tastes better. Oh, I know this gets me to where I want to be. Right. And so it was something that I think we really wanted to be cognizant of with starting a bar. We wanted to make sure we were being responsible and intentional in this space.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Cage?
To answer your question, yeah, it's 99% of kind of our motto across all our bars. We understood that, and we definitely, I think, took that as we can provide a service that is, one, approachable, two, affordable, and tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I think exactly what Kendrick Lamar said is a story that I've experienced. I've seen alcoholism in my family. I've seen it in others. It didn't didn't scare me from alcohol, but it did make me like double think and triple think, like, what is this? What am I drinking? How will this affect me? Will I get a hangover? Mm-hmm. Will I get a beer belly?
Yeah.
All of those things. It did make me just care more.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
And I think when we got older, we were in different spaces where we saw how alcohol could be used as a communal tool versus like, you know, coping mechanism or whatever.
Yeah.
And so being in a space like that where you felt good after you consumed alcohol with people you loved or had a good time with, which is what we experienced traveling, is another reason why we felt like we wanted to be intentional here.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Javia Gilliam-Sanford and Cage Sanford of Passport Bar and Poor Decisions about their approach to serving drinks and their thoughts about the culture and art of alcohol. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Javia Gilliam-Sanford and Cage Sanford, the married couple behind the Passport Bar and Poor Decisions. They'll also be hosting an event called The Art of Alcohol on Saturday, June 14th. Before the break, Javia, I think you'd mentioned something about, you know, the way people feel, where they want to get. And I was thinking about, you know, there are different ways to get a buzz and coming together with different people and learning is your bread and butter, so to speak, right? Can you talk about how you have promoted positive relationships with alcohol? Like, what does that look like in practice, Cage?
I want to start by saying 100% that, again, it is a tricky side to stand on, I think, when we talk about promoting healthy behaviors and alcohol. So we do try extremely hard to make sure we are promoting that, again, that education aspect of it, because, again, alcohol is still alcohol, but now it's not necessarily about drinking to get drunk, but liking what I drink, building those memories, those friendships, that, again, sometimes you just need a little bit of liquid courage, but make sure we're serving you the right amount. We're not overpouring you. We may cut you off. We check IDs. We're doing all these things, but we're doing them at a higher level, I feel, because we do understand just how fast that slope can be slippery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we work really hard in a bar to do things like tastings, gin tastings, spirits tastings, wine tastings, but also we have a 2-page spirit-free menu. We've sourced all that product from London so that people don't feel like the only way to engage in the third space is by having to drink. So you're still getting a really well-made cocktail that's not just pure juice. We're still putting all of the craft into it. And then additionally, like, there's a lot of low ABV cocktails because those are super popular right now.
Right, right. Do you find that people go back and forth, you know, in a single outing where they're having something that does have alcohol and then they'll go with something NA to to extend the time of their time in the space?
Yeah. I think we saw that a lot during a dry January. We had people, I can't remember the word, I wish I could, but there's this phrase where you switch, you alternate one drink with spirits and one without. And so I think that's a middle ground that some people have found for dry January, which was interesting.
Yeah. So the event that we've talked about is during Father's Day weekend, and it is at Keener Plaza from 11 to 5 p.m., and it is called The Art of Alcohol. Can you talk with us, Cage, about how you chose the name of this event?
So I have to defer to my lovely wife, because this has been her brainchild for years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So The Art of Alcohol came about in 2019 when I was working at the program manager for Venture Cafe. Giving the ability to do an event of my own. And so I chose alcohol as my event. And so a lot of the same brands you'll see this weekend were with me with this first event. I think I saw like 300 people in Cortex, which is a lot. But people really responded to the event well. There was a component of education and a component of tasting and then community, which people really appreciated.
Yeah. So storytelling is something that we very much value on this show. Are there certain kinds of stories that you find yourself telling, Cage, with some of the cocktails that you shared? I mean, are you educating people about why your lemon drop is superior to others?
You said it, not me. but yeah, I think, again, that conversation is just natural, especially being behind the bar. a lot of stories that I feel like I tell are unfortunately stories of cocktails I didn't like. Because most of the time people come up and they're like, oh, I see you have this. I'm not really a fan of this. And I'm like, oh, well, you should try mine. Like, just try it. You say you like these flavors. Let's just try it. And most of the time I get a good response. And the stories are just not necessarily like this is better or this is worse. It's try it from this aspect, because I'm sure the last time you had it, based on what you're describing to me, I can see what you didn't like there. And again, I think, again, having fun with that traditional cocktail aspect of we can add and remove as we need to. We can be flexible.
The cultural specificity part, I want to make sure that we get to that. And Javia, I understand that you have some experience with that because of the work that you did at sort of a big box store. Talk with us about that.
So sometimes behind the bar, which is how I ended up being behind the bar, you kind of saw the same men all the time, always men. And we would have all of these products and people would come up and they just look at them and say, sorry, we don't have anything sweet today. Just right off the bat. And so I think that radicalized me in a way I didn't expect. And so I asked, I'm like, just let me go back there. Give me a chance to just talk to people and see if we can transform their palate if we think it's a palate issue of why we're not selling these things. And so I think it's less cultural than we think. And I think, I mean, it is, because as a Psalm, I do say drinking wine should be very specific to your palate, because what grows together goes together is what we say all the time. It's no different from spirits. And so what we consume, the way we eat, it should inform how we drink as well. There is no one set guideline of what type of wine or spirit you should like. And so I think as we get out of that mindset about things, the bias, the implicit bias, I guess, should start to look, fall away as a whole. It shouldn't exist.
Javia, Gilliam Sanford, and Cage Sanford, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet and Darius Farner.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.